Okay, praise God. We're going to talk tonight, starting with the gifts of the Spirit. This is healing room teaching number 3. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you anoint the words taught and spoken, and anoint the hearers to hear, and just minister here. In so many different ways, Lord, we ask you for great revelation to come forth and to be received and to produce 100-fold in everyone's lives. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jennifer, yes. Tell us what happened.
Oh.
Thursday morning.
How do I shorten this? On our way to Vacaville for the conference, the Lord had me stop in for the healing room. I had no idea why I was here, what was going to happen. Short of it is that Ingrid doesn't know this. You and Greg prayed for me and my back, and my leg grew out, and my arm grew out, and went to Vacaville. This lady's like, oh, I have back pain, and we're in the same rows, all these same sessions. I said, she's like, will you pray for me? I'm like, okay, you know, God just healed me of this, so God does that. Her leg grew up. Just like, boom. And then we go back to the hotel room. My roommate's complaining of massive back pain. And we checked, and her leg was 1 inch shorter. Well, there was a registered nurse. I said, you give me the specific. She's like, that's 1 inch. I'm like, okay. And we were like, okay, getting ready to get holy. We're like, God, boom. It already happened. So we didn't even have to pray. Her leg grew out. It was Marlene. And someone else witnessed it, and then that person at the conference said, you pray for me and my back was healed. Here's 2 more people. And then those 2 people brought more people and more people. I'm like, I'm not even in the healing room. I put a question mark. So I don't know if I'm gonna be a part of it. I said, yeah, we'll pray for you. So another person's leg popped out, and it was just becoming like a drive-thru. So you and Greg have prayed that day, and it set the way for all these people, and I asked that those people would be receptive to anyone coming near them that had backs, so they would pray and just kind of keep continuing it. So you and Greg have a lot of blessings you don't even know about. Relay
that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, we help others with the help that we've been helped with. Okay?
Amen.
If God will do it for one, He'll do it for anybody, okay? He's no respecter of persons.
You don't even have to pray. You just get ready, and all of a sudden, I felt it move, and the person that was a nurse said, I saw it! And she started screaming in the hotel, and it was awesome. So it happens.
John 1.
John 1.
Let's go to John 1.
Taking up on types of healing, gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we're on the second page, letter E.
Everybody have their outlines. Everybody have their outlines.
Also, what I'm sharing with you tonight is usually in a seminar setting, it takes 2 days to do what we're going to do in an hour. So it's going to be, you'll see the fast version, but no, it'll be just very condensed. So verse 43 to the end. John 1.
The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus at this time was filled with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody remember at the day of his baptism, of his water baptism, it says the Spirit descended like a dove and came down upon him. It wasn't a dove, it was like a dove. There was no dove that day. It was like a dove. That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus received the Holy Spirit. If Jesus didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit, he couldn't have walked out the destiny he walked out. So it happened when he was 30, which means he spent 3 years on the earth filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Old Testament prophets had the Holy Spirit, but it was different. The Bible indicates that the Spirit would come on the prophets, and don't even ask me what that means, because we don't have that today, you know. We have the Spirit in man, filling man to overflowing. And so that is what we're familiar with. What we have is greater than what the prophets had. The apostles walked in more anointing than the prophets. They didn't do bigger miracles in some cases, but they walked in more anointing. It was more well-rounded. It was more like Christ, what the apostles had. The prophets could be pretty ornery, pretty crusty. Really. 50 soldiers came to Elijah, and he just called, they're going to arrest him and take him to see the king, and he called fire down and incinerated all 50. And then 50 more came, and they were going to do the same thing, and he just called fire down again, and he incinerated the next 50. And the third 50 came, and they came crawling up, begging, "Don't do it, don't do it. Please come see the king with us." And he says, "Okay, I'll go." And so there's another prophet. He's bald. That was Elisha. And these kids are making fun of him. And there were 42 kids. And he cursed them, and a bear came out and tore these kids to pieces. And
he understood the power of words.
Yeah. So you see, the apostles weren't so quick to kill or to destroy people. You know why? They were born again. The prophets were not born again. Nobody got born again until Jesus died and rose again. Nobody got born again. So the new birth is definitely better. Man now wields the Holy Spirit in a much more controlled way. And remember the sons of thunder? Where they said, "We'll call fire down on them." They weren't born again yet. See, he hadn't died yet. So they're trying to kill people, and they wanted to call it down. They didn't say, "Jesus, would you call it down?" They said, "Hey, Jesus, we'll call it down." That's what they said. And they got born again in John 20, if you want to write that down. It says, they didn't get born again on Pentecost. They got born again in John 20, where it says, "He breathed on them the Spirit and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And you can see it there in John 20 because it's red letters when he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You don't have to turn there because this is just a little side trip. But they got born again that day. And then he said later to them, "Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father," which is the promise from the book of Joel, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, indicating born again, baptism of the Holy Spirit, two experiences. Don't let anyone tell you it all happens in the same. Don't anyone tell you being born again is enough. Being born again is okay to go to heaven, okay? But the difference is, born again is the fire insurance, all right? So you don't burn. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to do your calling, and to be bold, and to understand the Word, and to move in these nine gifts that we're teaching on tonight. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. So we just read John 1 here. Let's just go through this, because These gifts of the Spirit were just normal every day for Jesus. He didn't give it a second thought. He just moved in them. Now look at this. 47. An Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. That's a discerning of spirits. Verse 47 is a discerning of spirits. In fact, one day you'll be able to go through the Bible and you'll be able to spot whenever someone's doing something miraculous or supernatural, you should be able to spot what kind of gift it was of the nine gifts. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't that be powerful for you?
The more you understand the gifts, the more you'll be aware of it as you read the Word. You'll read the Word and go, well, that's a gift of, that's this. And it's just real exciting to recognize even what Jesus was doing and what gifts he was operating in.
Yes. Why are we teaching on the gifts of the Spirit here? First of all, I believe I've operated in all nine of them. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean I can operate in all nine at will. It's a collection of a lifetime of ministry that I can tell you that. Okay? So don't think you can just keep adding and getting more and more and wield six at once like a Jedi, you know? Because Debbie also operates in a lot of them too. And in the healing rooms, every Thursday I see the gifts come into play. Every Thursday we start prophesying, giving words, word of knowledge, gifts of healings. It's just, you can, before one subject leaves, you could have possibly operated in four or five gifts on that one person. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Look at 48. Before that Philip called thee, thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Someone want to guess which gift that is?
Word of knowledge.
Right. Very good. What did I say 47 was?
Discerning of the Spirit.
Right. Okay, let's look at 50. Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou that thou shalt see greater things than these? Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Anyone want to take a stab at 51? What kind of gift that is? You said prophecy, Kim?
Well, he's giving a prophetic word of something that he is seeing.
Yeah, that's...
Seer is the gift of seeing, would be to see in the supernatural ways.
I'll give you a half credit.
Okay, at least I'm trying.
That's right.
Okay, this is a word of wisdom right here. 51 is a word of wisdom. Actually, probably 50 is too. He says, thou shalt see greater things than these. The little napkin test there is anything future is a word of wisdom. And we want to call it prophecy, but I can show you some scriptures a little later. Prophecy is kind of an all-encompassing word. You know what I mean? Like
the words of knowledge.
Yes, and to be honest, it isn't accurate. It's just kind of a slang we use. It's out of the Bible, but it's kind of a word we use as a catch-all word. But technically, when you divide it all up, there is a gift of prophecy. So if you're going to, in the New Testament, and if you're going to call all the words that are like word of knowledge is prophecy, then what are you going to do with the gift of prophecy, which I'll explain to you in a minute, what it is. So you have to be able to do something with that gift of prophecy. If you're going to call everything that technically isn't prophecy, prophecy, then... You see, it's the world that does it. When Nostradamus gave all those prophecies, they call him a prophet, and they call those prophecies. But the truth is, whenever an Old Testament prophet gave a word, a future event, it was always a word of wisdom. So what does word of wisdom mean? it isn't, we can't speak all of God's wisdom, right? Only He can do that, right? Our minds are too little. So we can't speak all of God's wisdom. So when we speak a little piece of His wisdom about the future, it's called a word of wisdom. It's kind of like what the ventriloquist gives the dummy, you know. You say this, just say three words, and that's all you say, and you're not going to get any more till I give it to you, you know. Why is he talking to the dummy? But anyway, that's what it is it's a little word of God's future wisdom for somebody, and therefore it's just called a word of wisdom, you know. And it's...
It is easier when you're ministering, you know, to say, I've got a prophecy for you. I believe I have a word for you, and I'm going to prophesy over you. But when you're, because the church in general, if you try to divide out what he's going to show you tonight, the actually break it down for you, most of the body of Christ doesn't get that, okay? And so you try and go and talk to them. So you say to somebody, I've got a word of wisdom. They go, well, what do you mean? What's that, you know? So that, I think that's why we often say, you know, I've got a prophecy for you or something like that.
Yep. Two, word of knowledge. I would write these down if I were you. And let's see if I'm qualified to teach this to you, okay? Because this, I have to say, this isn't plainly stated in Scripture what I'm about to show you. You have to really know a lot of Scripture to show you what I'm going to show you, or to discern this stuff, or to... The Holy Spirit has to put this together for you. Most revelation in the body of Christ is handed from person to person. Does everyone believe that and know that? Yeah, it's true. You don't just pour over the Bible in your Bible reading plan and pull a lot of revelation out of it. That just doesn't happen that way. After you get revelation, then your Bible reading plan speaks to you of the revelation you already have. It's mostly handed from person to person in the body of Christ. And so, I had a book, and I can't find it now, but I had a book once by Howard Carter, and he was the founder of the Assembly of God denomination. And he lived around 1900 or 1890 to 19-something. And he traveled the world. He was a missionary. He founded the Assembly of Gods. But what's most interesting about him is he was a conscientious objector in England. They threw him in prison as a man of God. And as he was in the prison one day with his Bible, there he was laying there, and there was a drip, 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 something he had no control over. And he couldn't get anyone to turn it off. And he put, I don't know how many weeks or months he had listened to it. It was driving him crazy. And he said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And it stopped. And so he started praying. He says, what was that, Lord? What happened? And God started talking to him. And the more God talked, the more he started writing it down or looking things up. And before you know it, this man had this revelation of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And he literally, this is around Azusa Street and the time of the return of the baptism of the Spirit to the world, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so in all that, this man literally returned this revelation to the body of Christ. Howard Carter, remember that name. Now, there was a young man traveling with him as a missionary, and his name was Lester Sumrall. And he passed away in the last 10 years. And Lester, before he passed away in the 80s, I got my hands on his 12 cassette teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, weapons of our warfare. And I listened to that, and in that he had all of Howard Carter's revelation, and in that he described and discussed this in such depth. And I studied this subject for a whole year. I saw the hunters moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and I noticed they kept talking about Gordon Lindsay. And I said, oh, they keep quoting Gordon Lindsay. I should be reading Gordon Lindsay. You know, that's the way I am. I just keep going back to the source. And so I got Gordon Lindsay's books on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got to get those books. Didn't you find them, Ingrid? How much? Because they're out of print.
It was cheap. It was just a fluke, though, I think.
On eBay?
Yeah.
See?
Because they're worth having in your library.
At one point, I saw them for... There's four little books about this big, and they were $80 on eBay once. And I have three of mine, and I'm missing the fourth, and I feel really bad about it. But I don't know.
Somewhere.
Okay.
Did you get a chance with that word wisdom? Anything like James 1:9 wisdom?
No. See, that's all God's wisdom. When you ask for wisdom from the Lord, like to do something, usually a word of wisdom is going to come out of your mouth for the benefit of somebody. It doesn't have to, okay, to come out of your mouth. But that's why it's described as a word of wisdom. And then number three is discerning of spirits. Now these are going up here. These three are the hardest ones to do in the whole of all the nine gifts. These are the three hardest ones to do. And that's because you've got someone's life in your hands when you're prophesying or giving a word of wisdom over their life. And you better be yielded to the Spirit or just keep silent. You better not have your own personal knowledge in there. Just keep silent. And so these three are what you call revelation gifts. Because you need revelation to deliver them. You need an instant revelation to come into your head so that you can give this word. And this third one, discerning spirits, these spirits would be demons, angels, any spirit. That's why Jesus, or a human spirit, a human soul. Because Jesus said, behold, it is right indeed in whom is no guile. And he was just talking about the humans, this man's personal righteousness is what he was talking about. So here's the nine gifts have three groups of three, which I think is kind of supernatural anyway, because God is a three-part being. Three is a very great, wonderful number with God. So the nine gifts are... Three is a very powerful thing. A three-strand cord is not easily broken, the Bible says. And God is three in one. We are a three-part being. The gifts have three of three, is what it is. And so you have... These are called revelation gifts. I like to say revelational gifts. That's not a word. According to Word, Microsoft Word, that's not a word. But revelational gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Okay, I bet almost everyone in here has operated in one of those. Even like maybe pre-save. It's like, Lord, where are those car keys? Lord, where are those car keys? Lord, where are my car keys? And all of a sudden, you hear in your head, look under the couch, you know, because your kids were playing with them. And so you go right to the couch and you look under and there's the car keys. Okay, what was that? You're going to get them all, aren't you?
Word of knowledge.
That's right. A word of knowledge is really the easy one to remember because it's just a known fact that you could not have known. You know? I saw Dave DeWell. We quote Dave DeWell a lot in here. He's an old apostle and pastor and evangelist. And he... I saw him, and he's talking to a woman once, and he goes, she says, I need prayer for my back. And he goes, I know. The third disc from the lumbar up is out of place, like that. And he says, no charge for the x-rays, like that. And then he prayed, and then it got better. So, you see, that's an exactly, if someone does that, that's a word of knowledge. He knew and he saw in a picture. And I suppose word of knowledge could come to you in your head in this is what you are to say, or it could come to you in, like, text, you know, it could, you just are getting it. You're getting the words, you're seeing the letters as if someone's writing them. Or people are different. You see pictures a lot. I see words, she sees pictures. And it's just how God makes, you see how God makes us. And so you could get a word of knowledge that's a picture of the answer instead of the words. Again, a word of wisdom is a future plan of God's. So if I told somebody that I believe their son was going to get saved in the near future, that's a word of wisdom. You see?
If you say, you know, you go for prayer and someone says to you, God is showing me that there's a door that's opening for you that's going to change everything that you've been praying about. That's a word of wisdom.
Yeah, these aren't in order of difficulty here. These are all about the same difficulty right here. And to be honest, they're not as difficult as you might think. I'm just saying, I'm going to show you ones that are easier to do. Because this is what you do. You do the gifts that are the easiest, and he who's faithful over little gets made ruler over much. So if you do the easier gifts and practice them and say, look, God, I'm doing the best with these that I have, he starts to give you the more difficult ones. All the gifts have to line up under what this napkin test right here. And this is pulled out of many, many scriptures. And I'm not giving you those scriptures, but I will give you this one. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 or 3. And it says, no man speaking by the Holy Spirit can call Jesus accursed. You know? That means, what did he say about Jesus? He said Jesus is dumb? That's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is only going to build up Jesus. He's only going to admire Jesus to the listeners. If somebody doesn't admire Jesus and if someone brings him down, or someone doesn't even make Jesus an important thing in a word, you might want to just cast out the word. Don't do it to their face. But just say to yourself, I'm shelving that. I'm not running with that. He's not centering this thing around Jesus. Because all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gets lifted up. Paul said it. See, that's right there in 1 Corinthians 12. We better go over there. 1 Corinthians 12. I just start teaching on it without even going to the scripture, so we better do that. And read that verse 3.
Okay.
Oh, you might as well read. You might as well read where in verse 1 where Paul calls all these people in here ignorant. Okay, go ahead.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Let's just skip all the way to, well, remember, we are going to point out 7 to everybody, so go read 7.
All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Stop right there. Everybody gets at least one gift. Everybody in the body of Christ gets at least one gift. But the truth is, God is so generous. If our earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? You can have as many of these gifts if you want, if you treat God right. If you give Him a kiss, you know, and give Him a hug, and call Him Daddy. If you have that right heart for God, He's going to pour these gifts out on you.
Also, notice that the end of that verse says, given to each one for the profit of all. Over in 2 Corinthians 9,
verses, it's kind of in verses 11 through 14, I won't read the whole thing, but it says, but now you all must also complete the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, and there may be an equality. When you're using the gifts, and when the gifts are operational, it is for the profit of all. And the way the body works, we know this, you know, that there's all these different parts, and Jesus is the head. But each one has a function, and each one makes up for what the other one doesn't, even in the gifts. Okay?
Amen.
He and I work together and minister. You know, I may come up with something that somebody needs for their profit, and he has something else, so that that person has the opportunity to get what they need, okay? So the Holy Spirit will move through you, but I don't go around going, I just want to do what you do. Let me do what you do. The Holy Spirit will move through me in my own specific way that he wants me to at that given moment. And he'll do the same with him.
Right.
That there's everybody's getting what they need.
What you want to do is no competition either.
Yeah.
If a word can come through someone else that's with you, you ought to rejoice in that. Don't go, oh man, they gave mine. Look at 7. It says, look at 7. Yeah, that is a confirmation. Who said that? That's right. Verse 7, to paraphrase, everybody gets at least one gift for the benefit of all people that are in the church. Do you see that? So, that's really a ministry statement right there. That gift is not to be squandered on yourself. You don't get the word knowledge so you can pick stock prices, you know? You know what I mean? So, that's a ministry verse right there. Everybody should profit from the gifts God has given you. Okay, read 8.
For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues.
That's good. Now, the teaching order is not the order Paul put them in, okay? So I have them in an order that helps you learn them, but he had the first two right. Maybe I have the first two right. Well, no. What I'm trying to tell you is that he was just making a list. He wasn't trying to help you understand the progression of them. But I'm doing something different here. Okay, ready? The gifts, the second on the napkin test, they always encourage and build up. If a gift is saying, my son, you really disappointed me. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying that? Can anyone in here imagine the Holy Spirit saying that? Does that build up the person that it's being said to? So the New Testament gifts are different than the Old Testament gifts. They always build people up. They encourage, they exhort, they comfort. And the last one is it word supported? You know? Is the gift, is it something that you could back with the Word of God? Because the Bible says, and over in 1 John, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Test the spirits to see if they be of God. And so,
in other words, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's from God. If you're ministering to somebody, and you have to, And if something, if you have something that even you question whether it's from God or whether it's, does this line up with the Word, then you have to be really careful, because the Holy Spirit will never minister anything that is contrary to the Word of God.
Yes. Now these gifts can function in the body of Christ. You've all probably seen them and heard them function in a group of people where someone calls out a word from the Holy Spirit. Has anyone not heard that? Okay. And sometimes someone will speak in tongues and someone over here will interpret it. So, and then you'll hear like three times, there will be three different words. And Paul kind of put a cap on it in Corinthians. He said, two or three at the most, and that's it. So, you can't just go on all day. On the 78th word, we're going to stop, you know. So, what we're talking about tonight is operating these gifts in a ministry situation, not necessarily in the church service. But they could operate there. And they're meant, he gives a lot of talk about operating them in there.
When we're praying for people, which is what this is about here, whether you're going to be part of the healing room or whether you just have opportunities to pray for people, these all of these gifts are going to operate, you know, eventually or within you. You'll be stronger in one or the other. But when you're ministering to somebody, sometimes you'll have some discernment over somebody that you're getting ready to pray for, and you'll know something that they have not told you. And the Holy Spirit will show you that this is the root cause of why they're here for something, you know. I mean, you know, let's say they've got acute rheumatoid arthritis, and the Holy Spirit would say they have joint trouble, but it's because they've had bitterness. They need healing from something somebody was done to them a long time ago, something that somebody did to them a long time ago. So you'll operate in these gifts a lot, and they will serve you as the Holy Spirit brings them forth. They will serve you as you minister to people.
Yeah.
And that's going to, the Holy Spirit loves these people so much that he cares that we're effective. He wants us to be the most effective we can be. And these gifts in operation help us help them.
Yep. That's good. At the same time, you got to be careful how you deliver that to someone.
Yes.
You know, like you're bitter, so that's why you've got what you've got, and you don't want to do that.
Give me an example of what you do, because this is
a teaching situation, right?
Right. He does this very well.
I had two sisters come in, and they were not from here or this church, and I won't say their names. And they both had horrible things, both of them. One girl was quite disfigured. And the other girl had something really bad, too. And I'm talking to them, and I didn't know if I'd ever get to see them again, you know. So you have to sometimes make some calls. Because the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means if you're giving words, you can control it, you can give it. You might even get something you have to apologize to God for later. He's not that harsh about it, you know. If you miss it, you miss it, you know. So I had these two sisters, and I really prayed hard over them. And then I'm seeing that these two girls were just highly abused by somebody the same way. And I said, are you full-blood sisters or stepsisters? Oh, no, we're full-blood sisters. And I'm going, into my own mind, I'm going, yeah, that's what I thought, you know. And then I didn't want to pry too much, but I said, what you both have is come from the same root inside of you of wounding. The same root. Because one was like a 30-year-old, and she had like rheumatoid arthritis, you know. And that's bad. Because she was swelling. And the other one was just a little older than her. And she had a huge tumor right here. Very disfigured. Cancer. And the doctors had given up on her. So that she's coming to the healing rooms as her last hope. And so I'm sitting here and I'm saying, what you both have, I'm sorry to tell you, but you both have the same issue caused by the same root. No doubt by something that happened to both of you at the same time or at different times. And you both, this has caused this to grow in both of your bodies. And I said, if you'll let me, I'll give you a website. You can go listen to some teachings I have on inner healing. I said, and I don't know what happened, and I don't know what it is, but God's showing me you two both need to get healed from the inside out on this. They were very solemn. They didn't say a word. They didn't break into tears, you know.
But sometimes they do when you minister like that.
Yeah. But you see, I didn't say I'm disappointed in you from the Holy Spirit, okay? I was virtually trying to save both their lives, to give them back their lives. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get in their hands more so that they could come and listen to my teachings on my website. And I gave them the teachings on inner healing. Get healed in your souls. That's what I told them to do.
That was a word of knowledge that the Lord had given him concerning these two girls, okay? And I've heard him say before, you know, like, you know, something very similar. But there's ways to deliver a word of knowledge like that, because it will break your heart when you get a word of knowledge like that. It will break your heart because you want to help them, okay? And sometimes he'll just say, you know, do you have, you ministers to him, and he'll go, do you, is there somebody that you're perhaps angry with?
Need to forgive.
You know, that you need to forgive. And it's, again, you're treading very lightly. But most of the time, people are going, well, yeah, actually, I hate my father, or whatever, you know. And suddenly, you've opened up the ability to get down to the deeper problem. Because the sickness is usually a symptom on the outside of something that's going on the inside. Whether it's a wounding, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's a heart issue. I mean, there's a myriad of things, okay? And the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, but particularly the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits, often will give you an opening to get into the place where the healing can really begin to take place.
Yeah, you can prophesy someone's healing to them.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen when they leave. It could all break open for them when they leave. So you don't want to give up before they leave if you didn't see anything happen. Because if they left with your word, your gift of the Holy Spirit, a word to them, if they left with that, God could use that to do much. Mm-hmm. You see, and to be honest with you, about just to finish about those girls, I didn't really get something earth-shaking from heaven. Through my own mental experience, I have learned that the root of arthritis is often unforgiveness and bitterness. And I also have learned from my experience that a root for cancer is also unforgiveness and bitterness. See? See what I mean? So it's like I knew from my own personal experience what to tell those girls. It didn't have to really come from the Holy Spirit. And God approves that, because how you deliver it could be from God. But the knowledge and the might be your own from your experience, you see? And that still qualifies as a word. And then there was the other day, I had someone in front of me and I said to them, 30 years ago this thing happened to you. And I didn't tell them what it was. I said, but it was traumatic and it was hard for you and it left you wounded. And this person didn't confirm it for me, you know, but was real blessed and got some healing in the body and left. And I don't know if that's right or not. It doesn't matter. It's what I felt to say at the moment, you know. Okay. Working in Miracles. Five gifts of healings. Are you on 1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Let me see it. Where's gift of healings?
Down here. Right here. Verse 9.
Gifts of healings. Okay, so I did it right. There's an S on each one of those. And it does make a difference. And then lastly,
gift of faith.
Gift of faith. Now, these ones, interestingly, as hard as these seem to do, these take less yieldedness to God and His Spirit than these first three. So, this is your second group, and these are called the power gifts. See, because leg aligning, that is a gift of healing. You see? And Jennifer caught it from me and from Ingrid. Okay? But Debbie and I have done that for years in our family, and we did that on our little kids, and our little kids started doing it back to us, and they were as good as us at it.
Yeah, my 4-year-old, I had gotten hurt or out of alignment. I had a job, a weird job, and I'm laying on the floor, and he goes, "Mommy, can I align your legs?" And he's 4 years old, or 4 and a half, and he's down there with his little glasses on, and he's aligned, speaking to my legs, and he's lining them up. I mean,
and the Holy Spirit honors what he's saying.
Yeah.
And they're aligning. Now watch this. Would I send that 4-year-old out to give someone a word of wisdom? You see? It not only did these three gifts here take a certain amount of yieldedness to God so you can hear God's voice, but they also take a certain amount of maturity as an adult, you know, and as a believer. They take maturity. These do. See?
And let me just say something else about the revelational gifts. Because you, though you could be a new believer and have a word of knowledge, you would have trouble knowing if it was word supported if you hadn't, were never in the Word. You know,
right.
That's part of the reason. You got to know the Word.
Very good point. Yeah. You have to know the Word to deliver these things. And that's a great point.
Also, somebody could give those gifts and not have been saved for very long. But we had said this, I think we said this here before. The way you know God's voice is here. See? And the more you read the Word, the more you know the Word, the more you ingest the Word, the more you become familiar with the way God talks. So he could speak to you and give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, and you would know it's him because you know how he talks. You know his character. You know his heart. See? Somebody that is new could, by the Holy Spirit, give one of those things, but they wouldn't have the confidence that they had actually heard from God until they really can say they know how God speaks because they don't know the Word.
Yeah, let's say you, now I'm going to talk about these for a second. Let's say you see a person in a wheelchair, they have an amputated leg, and let's say you said, "Leg, grow out, just like, and be just like his other one." And his leg grows out. Full leg, foot, toenails, everything. What happened here? Anyone want to take a stab at it? Who said that? Who said all of them? I need to know. No, I'm kidding. Okay. You know, these are real. This one especially and the gift of faith are very hard to discern the difference between. Okay? Because gift of working in miracles and gift of faith are both hard to discern the difference between. But I think they're right. It's all three. Because that's a huge working of a miracle. I mean, a new leg appeared. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a miracle to get a leg down from heaven, you know. He was healed. And the person that said it has got to have some enormous faith. Mm-hmm. You know, or be an idiot. Smith Wigglesworth had a man come to him And he was a double amputee. And Smith Wigglesworth said to him, "If you had any faith, you'd go buy a pair of shoes." And so the man took him up on it, and he went right to the shoe store, and I don't know if he's in a wheelchair or on crutches, well, probably a wheelchair, and he's wheels in there, and he gets in the seat, and the guy says, he says to the clerk, crutches, "Well, with a prosthetic limb, crutches might work." Not in that day, probably. Trying to get my story right here. He says, "I'd like a pair of shoes," to the clerk. The clerk's looking at him and looking at his legs at the church. And who's, yeah, who's, who knows what the clerk says?
No,
what size? I didn't hear what he said, but I suppose he said the size he used to be. So the clerk brings him out the shoes and he sets them there. And he gets down there and puts his stumps in them. And they grew. And he got his feet. They grew right in. He got his. So,
working of miracles, what Jesus did with the bread and the fish, that was a miracle. That was a working of miracles.
How is that different than what the prophet told Naaman the leper? He said, "You go dip 7 times in the River Jordan and you'll be healed." And he did, and he was healed of leprosy. Really almost the same exact thing. And so, I suppose Smith Wigglesworth delivered a word of wisdom to him. "If you go do this, you'll get healed." And the man responded with the gift of faith, because that would take some crazy faith, you know, to go buy some shoes. And then I suppose this kicked into play, and that kicked into play too. Smith Wigglesworth raised 13 people from the dead. Jesus only raised 3 in his earthly ministry. But we all know that Jesus was in Smith Wigglesworth, so Jesus does all resurrections, right? But I mean, Smith Wigglesworth, there were one time he grabbed a man, a corpse rather, and he pushed him up into the wall like this. And he leaned, and the guys kind of leaned against the wall, you know. You know, I don't know why he'd stay there. I guess because it's rigor mortis. But he says, "In the name of Jesus, come alive." And this guy came alive. Okay. Now, you know the story. Would the guy fall down each time or something?
He slumped back down. He put him back. He
said, "Good."
Yeah. 3 times. Thank you. So what if he'd quit on 2?
Yeah.
And which gifts worked? Which of the power gifts worked on that resurrection? Yeah, it's all 3. Because, first of all, it took a gift of faith to try to raise a corpse. Okay. Secondly, it took a miracle to bring the man's spirit back from heaven. Or wherever he was. That would be a miracle to get a man's spirit back, right? And then, if the guy is going to stay alive, he has to be healed. So God's got a healing too. So you see, all 3 work in that. And as in probably most resurrections, all 3 work. The reason I said this one looks just like this one, because God has the human being do this one. With his help. And with this one, God does it all the human being offers is his faith. Often, the same kind of things are getting done. This is why they're hard to tell apart. The same kinds of things are getting done. God's doing all of this one. God is letting the human being do this one in his power. Like when Moses parted the Red Sea, remember? God said to him, "Why are you crying unto me? You hold out your staff and you part it." That's what God said to Moses. So Moses held his staff out and the sea parted. So that was a working of miracles that Moses did. When the ground opened up and swallowed all of Moses' detractors, that was a working of miracles through Moses. It was a bad one. There are called gifts of the Spirit of divine judgment. All right? Ananias and Sapphira. Now, interestingly, the teachers that I studied under said that one, remember, he said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And I forget what he said, but he said, you're done. Your life is over. That's Peter talking to him. And he collapsed dead. And then his wife comes in. They test her. She says the same lie. So Peter says, well, the same people that carried your husband out are now coming up to get you. And she collapsed. But interestingly, my teachers that I studied under said that one was the gift of faith. Peter operated in the gift of faith for that one. And I was trying to make a stretch of why they said that, but I just kind of trust them. You know, that one was a gift of faith. I remember once when we were not supposed to go through the mountain pass up at Donner because it was too snowy. And I said, let's prove God. And we prayed. Our group that we had, this is before we got married. We were in a ministry and this group wanted to go up to a retreat in a Tahoe cabin. We had to get there from here. This other group wanted to go, but they canceled. And we said, let's don't cancel. Let's go and let's drive back that snow. And we prayed. And I'm telling you, when we started and we got about like above Pollock Pines or wherever we were going, yeah. It was bad. It was really, we were sliding around and stuff. But the further we got, the more it cleared up until when we got to Donner, we just drove through in sunshine. Yeah, it was 80. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, get this. Even the hot, back in those days, instead of the internet, you called this phone number early in the morning, and they had every highway condition. You could call the number. And even the highway condition said, that's not passable. So we saw the bad news on the news the night before. We heard that thing in the morning, and we still said, God is going to give us clear passage. And we went. And, you know, you should have seen it on the faces of the group. We were going up there to teach them faith. And God backed us up. Remember?
Yeah.
And the other group did not make it, and they canceled out. And they're going, that Greg is an idiot.
We're not saying to use your faith frivolously, okay?
So
that has to be something that comes out of the inside of you.
So what was that?
Grace.
Yeah, that was a gift of faith. We're going, God has to do it. Interestingly, there's a little footnote about the gift of faith. It often looks, when you use your faith and God does it, it often looks like it happened by natural means.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. And you see, so it looks like the wind just blew that storm away, you see? So it looks like we just lucked out, you know? And so when we got married, we went to Pismo Beach and we stayed at this nice hotel. And we had a couple days, and here comes these clouds.
Yeah.
And
August.
We stood on the balcony because we were good at this by now, and we were going, Get out of here. And we just watched them roll backwards together.
Yeah, we had a pastor at the church we went to at that time. His family owned one of the largest spinach farms in the country. And this was in Colorado. And his family was not saved, okay, but he was. And he used to go this happened a number of times where the clouds were coming and the rain and the hail was coming and it would destroy his crop and destroy his family's well-being because the whole family, everybody lived off of these crops, okay? And this pastor went and he stood at the edge of his property and he pointed his finger and he commanded the storm to go around his property. Not one little bit of hail fell on his land. Not one. and other farmers that had similar crops of spinach that were nearby, they were destroyed, which of course made him financially better.
Yeah.
But you know, he used a gift of faith to stand there and command, you know?
Okay, according to Paul's list, someday you will teach this. Interpretation of tongues. I'm writing at a bad angle.
Yeah.
Like I have a broken hand or something. Okay. These are called, these three gifts are the final three. These are called the utterance gifts. It's obvious, okay. What's one of the first things they teach new converts in this church, like the young people that come to the youth and they come into the Bible college? What do they teach them in here? Starts with a P. Prophetic. Yeah. So someone saved a week can just start go prophesying, you know? They may not be very accurate, but at least they, if they have a little faith, they might hit the mark, you know? And it's like, that's this gift right here. And it says here in 1 Corinthians, Debbie, turn 1 Corinthians 14, everyone.
14:3. It says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men."
Right, okay. So this is where you kind of get... The word prophecy is a catch-all for these up here that use words also, okay? And that's where you kind of get the gist of it, that they need to comfort and edify and exhort people, these words. But right here, it doesn't say anything about anything supernatural there. Do you see that? Can you comfort somebody without getting a supernatural word? Yeah. Can you edify them? Yeah. Can you encourage them? Yeah. So exhortation, that means encourage. So these three things that make up prophecy don't need hardly any supernatural. They don't really. Maybe it's supernatural in how you delivered it, because you let it come up out of your innermost core, which is where your born again human spirit is. You know. So maybe in how you delivered it, how you said those words of comfort might have been an unction from the Holy Spirit. But basically, if you're going to build them up, you know, God loves you and I love you. You are special, not only to God, but to me and the people of this church. You are a wonderful young woman. You need to love yourself because God loves you. You're going to make it. You're fighting something awful, but you're going to make it. It's going to be okay.
Interestingly, oftentimes, at least for me, I can start out with the gift of prophecy, and it will open the door to a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for me. And also, often the gift of prophecy is, like he said, it comes from the inside out, and it is actually facilitated by great love and compassion for the person that you're ministering to. So you've got somebody, and they've come, you know, we do this amazing prophecy lines here at the church, you know, and you go because you're like, I need a word. I've just had the last crummy, the last 6 months have been so crummy, I need a word. You go, and the people that sit down and start ministering to you, they are there, and they start out with out of this love and compassion, and they start prophesying. And out of the prophecy will often come, not always, but often come the word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Like, you know, like you could be, have a young girl sitting in front of you, and you could be saying, you know, you know, you just need to know how much the Lord loves you. And then all of a sudden, you've got a word of knowledge that they had just been kicked out of their house, you know. And then you say something along those lines. So the love and the compassion opens the way up for the gift of prophecy, which will open the way up to the other gifts sometimes.
Amen. We were holding a Bible study once at our house, and our friends who were coming for it, they brought someone we didn't know. And it was this woman, and she was a Vicodin addict. I mean, she was just a fiend after it. She had to have it, and she'd steal it. She'd get it any way she could get it. And I started giving her a word. And at first, I just was edifying her. I just was building her up. And then all of a sudden, God just... This is what happens. See, you know how... Remember the priest had the ark when they were going into Canaan, and they stepped in the River Jordan, and then it parted. Remember that? See, I stepped in the Jordan by beginning to edify this lady. And as soon as I stepped in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit's going, I like this. I like what my son is doing. So he starts throwing thoughts in my mind about, and they're actually coming up here out of my human spirit into my mind like this. In fact, one man of God said, it's like a zipper. There's a zipper that zips shut, usually. When you get under the anointing of the Spirit and you start acting in faith, the Holy Spirit opens this zipper and He starts taking His knowledge and passing it through that opening into your mind. Isn't that a beautiful symbolic view? And so I started giving her past. And she knew there was no way I could do it. So she just broke down. She started weeping. And she went home totally like set free, ready to... She went home. She I don't know if she ever went back on them or not, but she was calling everybody. I've been delivered.
Yeah, but she was different when she left than when she was.
Yeah, so yeah. What I'm saying is, you see how if I hadn't known what I knew about the gifts, I would not have tried that, you know? So look at the potential you have. You don't just have now the laying on of hands. And I know a lot of you have been exposed a lot to prophecy and gifts, so I know a lot of you move in them right now. If you get something here tonight that can help you go to the next level, that would really be a blessing to me. Debbie took my thunder here. It's okay, Debbie. The door.
We're one flesh.
Yes.
Okay.
See, and that confirms it for me, yeah. Look at this. The door. Okay. If you will take these most simple gifts, and these are the most simple gifts right here. This is really the most basic of all, speaking in tongues. And everyone should know that there's two kinds of tongues, right? I'll have to put them here. There's the unknown tongue, and then there's the what they call diverse, you know, where you're speaking in someone's language, or you are speaking an interpretation that's really key. The interpretation might even have words of wisdom and words of knowledge and discerning of spirits in it. And I don't know how many times when we've been prophesying and speaking over people, we start getting tongues. And you've seen that too, where someone's giving, they'll go for about 2 minutes in tongues, and then they'll give some English, and then they'll go in 2 minutes in tongues. And it's all in a ministry situation. And you're literally getting what you're supposed to say to this person from those tongues. And Paul said, when you speak in a tongue, pray that you can interpret it. So that's what that's all about. And so people get this when they can get this the very first day they're saved. I'm wondering if this is the one the apostle's talking about when he says everyone gets one. You know, I think that's got to be it. But then he comes right on behind that in another chapter here in Corinthians, and he says, desire that you prophesy. And it's like, wait a minute. All I got to do is desire it, and I can do it? Yeah. Because remember, the good father that gives gifts to his earthly children. So here's two right here that are pretty much are shoe-ins that you're going to be able to have, both of them. Tongues happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. And don't let anyone tell you that that you can be full of the Spirit and there is a type of the baptism of the Spirit that has no tongues. Don't let anyone tell you that, because the apostles thought otherwise in Acts. Now, aren't we supposed to take that template? Isn't Acts recorded so we can use it as a template? Because they said, come on, Peter, come look. And Peter says, okay, I'll look, because they had gotten these people filled with the Spirit without Peter around. Peter's coming down there to see if they did it right, you know. And they said, come look, Peter. And Peter looks, and he says, yep, they're filled with the Spirit, because I see them praying in tongues and magnifying God. So if they weren't praying in tongues and magnifying God, Peter would say, they're not filled. You see it? Isn't that simple? And they did that several times in the book of Acts. You see? So that means, also earlier in Acts, it says, as many as are called, this what happened, what Joel prophesied is for as many as are called, and also those who are afar off. But they didn't do any transatlantic travel in those days. So they couldn't even got it over here to the Vikings and the Europeans. They started bringing people over here to be missionaries. You could have never got the gift, you know, you could never got what the prophet Joel promised to America until a couple thousand years later, or 1,500 years later, right? Therefore, Peter was right. This is for all those that are far off. This gift is for as many as have been called. That means everybody that's going to be born again can get this, what Joel prophesied. And anyone that is not on this continent can get what Joel prophesied. You see? So when someone starts telling you, you don't need the gift of tongues, well, they may have like tried to receive it and not been successful because, and you know what? The only time that somebody's not successful is because they're mistaught on the gift of tongues. Mistaught. Because it's basically like, I give people this analogy. Paul says that my Spirit prays. He didn't say the Holy Spirit prays. He says, my Spirit prays. The gift of tongues is not the Holy Spirit praying. It's my Spirit praying. You can find that in Corinthians. See? So that usually cleans out a lot of the cobwebs right there. And then, they're thinking that the Holy Spirit has to use their vocal cords. But it's like, you know, when your car starts, it has an engine, and the engine is like the Holy Spirit. But the steering wheel and the gear selector and the gas pedal and the brake, that's like your tongue. You have to drive the engine or the engine will go nowhere. So when people are waiting for God to make them speak, they're going to wait for eternity. They have to give the words and the voice. What I usually do is people say, why don't you just repeat my words, okay? And before you know it, within minutes, they're fluent. Just by starting out repeating my words. That's a little neat little trick. Because they're doubting, and so when they get to repeat your words, it just kind of throws their doubts out. And then you have to say to them, yep, you got it, because they don't think they're getting it. Because the mind plays a lot of tricks. So these three gifts are the simplest, easiest gifts, and I've explained to you why. And now if you use these gifts very diligently, like you should pray in tongues every day. Amen. You should pray in tongues for several minutes a day at least.
Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you.
Yes. And
he recognized the importance.
And this is a stewardship. This is a stewardship of what God's given you so that He can take you higher. And I would say to you that if you've been speaking in tongues for a while, you're ready for these up here. And if you maybe you've done them, but you're ready for more of them. You're ready for more things to start happening. Because these three are the doorway to get to these hardest ones. And again, fairly simple to do, still kind of simple to do, because even a little child can do these, the hardest ones to do, but not hard if you just, you know, what is yielding to God? What is yielding to God? You know, well, get yourself out of the way, get your worries and concerns and cares out of the way, get your focus on God and His Word, and then get your focus on that person that's standing in front of you. Yes. Yes. When Wigglesworth healed the sick, he used to go through these long lines and he used to just weep and cry. And it was compassion. He had compassion for the pain and the suffering that he knew they had been having. Interestingly, just a few more little notes. This, the Old Covenant was loaded with, there were gifts operating in the Old Covenant. The prophets operated in everything but tongues and interpretation. So there were seven in the Old Covenant. And so these came with the new birth and with the plan of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. And this was God's dream. Tongues was God's dream. He said, with stammering lips will they speak. Now, God prophesied that in the Old Testament. So there were seven of these in the Old Testament. There are nine in the New Testament. Jesus moved in these. If you think anything Jesus did was outside of these nine, you're wrong. He moved when Jesus did his... Jesus moved in the function of an Old Testament prophet. And see, he was a prophet. He was a teacher. You know? And so, he used all of these. Jesus used these in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. It is possible for a born-again person not baptized in the Holy Spirit to function in some of these. It's not common at all. So you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as a foundation for doing these. Do you have anything?
In 1 Timothy 4, 14, Paul is telling Timothy, right before that he says, don't despise your youth. And then he says in verse 14, this is 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So, Timothy had been prophesied over, and Paul was exhorting him to not neglect that gift that had been imparted to him at that time when hands had been laid on him. And that's my exhortation to each one of you, is move in what you use, you know, ask God for more, practice. Speak in tongues all the time, and then ask God to interpret it. Get a pen and a paper and write it down. You'd be surprised what God will say, you know. And
well, move on to 2 Timothy 1:6.
Okay. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
Amen.
That was the same thing.
You mean I could get these gifts by someone putting their hands on me? We're role playing.
You yeah, know, you know. Really?
Okay. Read Romans 1:11.
Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established.
Okay. There was a great man of God named Robert Thom. You ought to write that name down. Last name is spelled T-H-O-M. And he was a mentor to our mentor. So we never met him. I don't know when he passed away, but probably before I was born. And he actually was kind of responsible for helping found the Full Gospel Businessmen. But he was really from South Africa. He literally prophesied the TBN. Isn't that... Now, which one is Pat Robertson's?
700?
Which one is it called?
CBN.
He literally prophesied all these TV stations in the 50s. And Robert Thom was a drunken sailor, and he lived in South Africa. He went home every night to his wife drunk. He was a horrible guy. And one night, God got a hold of him, saved him. He literally went down to the bar, tried to get drunk, and could not get drunk because of the spirit in him. So his friend was going to beat him up because he was wasting his money on him. He's buying him drinks and wasting his money. And so Robert Thom became this powerful man of God there in South Africa. And he traveled with... He had a relationship with F.F. Bosworth. They called them the Bosworth brothers, so there was more than one. And F.F. Bosworth wrote which book? You should have all read that book. Yeah, all Pentecostal people should have read that book. Christ the Healer. Okay, did you know that Bosworth and John Lake were co-students under John Alexander Dowie? Anyway, Bosworth... poured what he had into Robert Thom. And Bosworth got what he got from John Alexander Dowie. Alright? Who was John G. Lake's trainer. Our trainer, mentor, spiritual father. Mentor is not such a great scriptural word. It's kind of a secular word. Why am I going through all this? Robert Thom had gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he could see accurately. That's why he prophesied. What was it to prophesy TBN and CBN? That would have been a word of wisdom. He prophesied a word of knowledge. He says, anyone wants the gift of the word of knowledge, come up here. He was in Colorado at the time. And he was doing a little meeting of Full Gospel Businessmen. And Dave Duell, one of our spiritual fathers, was in that meeting. And he says, if you can get up here to me, you can have the word of knowledge. Dave jumped up, started running, and Robert Thom goes, got it! And he pointed at him. Dave went down, and he crashed into, they were in a school cafeteria, crashed into all these tables and chairs. He ended up laying under the table looking up. And he got up from there with the word of knowledge. And the way Dave met him is, what happened was, Robert Thom started asking around because God said, I want you to go to Ray, Colorado. And that's spelled W-R-A-Y. And so he's... they get a hold of Dave Duell's cousin who says, I don't have time to take... He wants to fly in. I'm getting ahead of my story. He told somebody he needed to go to Ray, Colorado, but I didn't even know if there is such a place. God spoke it to me. And someone goes, I know the place, and I know a man that lives there. And there is a place, and it's in Colorado. And so they called Dave Duell's cousin, who had no time to take Robert Thom around, and so they assigned Dave Duell the job. And Dave Duell said, they told Dave, pick him up at the airport, and you'll know him. There's a great prophet getting off the airplane. And so Dave is looking at everybody getting off. He says, "What's a prophet look like?" You know, and sandals, robes. And here comes a guy in a business suit with a bag, and he walks right past Dave and says, "Come on." like that. And Dave just follows him. And so Dave drove him around for 2 weeks. And it was in those 2 weeks that he went down and picked up the word of knowledge from him. Okay. Now, Dave works dramatically in the gifts of the Spirit, maybe all nine of them. And interestingly, the year I met him is when I saw these gifts start showing up in my life. One more thing is he used to come, he was like my spiritual grandpa because my pastor was my spiritual dad and Dave was his spiritual dad. Okay? And so Dave was like my spiritual grandpa, but one time my pastor had to be out of town, so he says to me, would you drive Dave around for me? So I got to drive Dave around. And I guess what I'm telling you is there's a lineage here. This lineage goes all the way back to like Alexander Dowie. And it's like I saw these gifts show. I met him in 84 or 5, and in 85 I'm starting to do these over people. See? And so, and what did Dave do? He laid hands on me. What did we just read you? Paul said, I long to see you so that I can impart something on you through the laying on of hands. And so, anyway, we also got our hands laid on us by Lester Sumrall. We went to see Lester. Our former pastor set it up. There's about 1,000 people in the Days Inn in their banquet room. Here's Lester Sumrall. He says, and he's like a crotchety old guy. He's like in his 80s or late 70s, and he's just, you know. And he didn't have any time for messing around. You know, his life wasn't, he didn't have long on the earth, you know. So he has this anointing oil. He says, I want everybody across the front here. And so 1,000 people walked past him, and he took oil on each person, like, psh, and he hits you hard, too, you know. You're like, and he did it to her, he did it to me. And when I did that, I said, I take everything that man has, Lord, I take it. Okay, then after I got that from him, I found out what he got. I went back and studied him. This is what he got. He traveled with Howard Carter. And he had these gifts inside, forwards, backwards, inside and out, Lester Sumrall. Another thing happened to Lester Sumrall. He traveled with Smith Wigglesworth himself. And he put his... And when Smith Wigglesworth got real old, Lester finally went to see him one last time. And Wigglesworth sat there and cried on him, and tears just fell on him. And Wigglesworth says, here, put your head in my lap. And he put his, Lester Sumrall put his head in his lap, and he put his hands on his head, and he says, I put everything in him, Lord, that you've ever given me. Lester Sumrall. And he laid hands on us. So that, I'm not trying to tell you this to make me and Debbie all that, all right? That's not what I'm doing. God has a way of putting things from person to person to person down the generations. When I met Dave, he was in his 50s, and I was in my 30s. Okay? Now Dave is in his 70s, and I'm in my 50s. Now my ministry is a little similar to Dave's, okay, right now. Because when I could, I took what he had. Some he taught it into me, and the rest of it he laid hands on me, and he spoke it into me through prophecies. You see? So, Debbie and I would like to lay hands on any of you that would like us to receive. And you know what? Your faith is important here. If you say, Lord, I want everything I can get here, then you will get some of the substance and anointing that backs up this teaching right here and these nine gifts. And this happened to me, so I know exactly what I'm talking about here. And we're not late, anybody. It's only 8:35.
Right here.
I feel like I'm Kim.
Praise God.
In your eyes, prophecy.
You can line up, you can, whatever you want to do, you don't have obligated to, but if you want it, I guess one.
Yeah, there's one scripture.
We have two ready.
Wait a minute.
I would apologize if my Senate would be fake.
Well, you know what? When you're done, just go sit down. So that this line will just go like that.
No.
Okay, there's one scripture. Did you read the scripture that said the gift came in through prophetic words and
yes,
laying on hands?
Yeah, I did
okay.
Both of those. I did both those scriptures.
And I don't think we have time to do words over everybody.
Okay, let's just do it.
Praise God.
All right, everyone.
Okay. Quiet. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Lord, they are so hungry. And Lord, I love that. I love that. And Lord, I believe some of these here, Lord, will see something new manifesting tomorrow or tonight. Glory. 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 We're not going to have anyone fall down. God knows when you say that too. Praise God. Just Father. Holy Spirit, just load her up, Lord. Load her up, Lord. In Jesus' name right now, Lord. You just go and do the same person. Load him up, Lord. You all are going to get loaded. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Anointing. Holy Spirit. Gifts and anointing. Back to her a minute. Hallelujah. Word of knowledge here. Glory. Glory. Speaking gifts, utterance gifts, and prophetic, building people up. And then, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Just to overflowing right here.
Release.
Yes, Father. Just impart what you want to give Him, Lord. What you want to give Him. I see some power gifts coming in here right now. Power gifts. You can see what they are right there. Praise God. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Overflower. Overflower. Gifts. I stir up the ones she already has. I stir them up. She's going to take some off the back burner. Yes and amen to everything you're asking, God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Even more gifts in this gifted woman. More gifts. Glory to Jesus. Just fill her with just overflow with gifts. Overflow with gifts. This brother here. Overflowing of gifts. Overflowing of gifts. Yes. All right. Revelational gifts. Hey, you too. Revelational gifts. You can see what's from there. Glory. Glory. Glory.
Glory. Glory.
Anointing. Greater exploits of God. Daniel 10. God's people will do exploits.
More together.
And Sandy, you wanted even a more accurate word of knowledge. I believe you're going to even know people's names. I don't know when that's going to come. First names, I don't know how it's going to work. But it's in Jesus' name. Stir up every gift already in you. You prophesy very well, daughter. I'm going to turn up the heat. Yes, go sit down so we can fit everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you already had, Jennifer, you already had the power gifts operating through you down there at that conference. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now the revelational gifts. Glory to God.
Those operating too.
Yes. But more accuracy.
Yes.
More abundance of them. We seal it in her in the blood of Jesus Christ. Right now. Glory to God. Glory to God.
The Lord's going to show you. He'll show you what to do.
Stir up those that you already have. The Holy Spirit's going to magnify a few of them. You're going to see something new show up here. I want to say word of wisdom and word of knowledge. You're going to see a new level of that. Mm-hmm. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Just bless her head to toe. Hallelujah. Bless her hips and legs. And legs align right now. And all pain leave her. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to blow on these hands because you look at the list up there, power gifts. And you may have already used them, but increased power, increased anointing. Blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And you're going to break the yoke of bondage off of many.
Raising the dead.
Power gifts. And just keep being faithful and healing, even increase them from there. And keep it. And you've already done the word of knowledge before. You may know it or not know it, but you've done it. Glory to God. So just stir that up in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. What you're
doing. Loaded with gifts. Loaded with gifts. Got a good mind.
Thank you.
You got to get it out of the way.
You're like.
That's the way I am too.
Aircraft carrier.
You and I have a similar issue. But later, God can take that mind and can load it up with facts that you will be a blessing to people with. And so I stir up the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning the spirits, and the power gifts. Whew. Higher anointing in your laying on of hands. You're going to have a higher anointing. Glory. Praise God. You work with people every day. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I see more manifestations coming through your laying on of hands. The power gifts right there. The power gifts. Power gifts. I bless him, Lord. Just stir him up, Lord, to overflowing. To overflowing. to overflowing. Overflowing. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Also, in your daily troubles, that word of knowledge could serve you nicely. I stir that up in Him. And I believe God's given there. Right there. Right there. Hallelujah.
And with these gifts is going a greater degree of compassion than you've ever experienced before. A greater degree of compassion.
Amen. Glory to God. I feel drunk. Praise God. Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Holy Spirit. For all of you, remember tonight. Remember tonight. Because in 20 years, you could be telling this story to a group of people about tonight. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. The revelational gifts. God is, you know what? You've already got them. God wants them to come out now. You're going to see them manifesting. Actually, in the next few days.
Yeah.
Those are the highest ones. Glory to God. And, oh, go ahead.
And you've been quiet. But God is opening things up for you to voice, to have a voice.
Amen.
Move out in the things that He's stirring up and bringing forth in you.
Amen.
In a greater dimension.
Also, let me see this in our hands. Power gifts. Laying hands on the sick. Gift of faith. Working in miracles. Glory to God. Not all of you got the same words. Don't you know, though, you're all different? Praise God. You got any pain tonight?
There's still manifestation of oils.
Praise God. Just, we break the power of those welts. We command them to get out. Get out.
Yes.
Get out. We bind them from her, and we command her skin to be fresh and whole and new. And we just speak the faith in her also, and she can stand against it. But right now, we add our faith to her, and we agree as touching this on earth. Holy Spirit, just take all away every welt right now. We believe it, Lord. We thank you. Glory to God. I see evangelist here. Evangelist healing in your hands. And gifts. All the gifts you need to carry out your call. God has given them to you. So we just stir them up in you. Every gift of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Practice with your tongues. Do you speak in tongues?
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God.
I also came from the Lesser Samar lineage in the Philippines.
You what?
The Lesser Samar
lineage from the Philippines. Oh. My grandparents.
Manila?
Yeah. 1950 when he went there.
You're my from his ministry?
Yeah. My grandparents.
Her grandparents received ministry from Lester Sumrall in the Philippines in Manila.
And that's
why she's a believer.
The first Assembly of God Church in the Philippines during the 1950s, my grandparents came to know the Lord through Lester Sumrall.
Amen.
In the 1950s. Because my grandfather had cancer, and the doctor said he only has 7 months to live. My grandfather is a Catholic before, so he had the covenant with the Lord. He said to the Lord, for every church that I will build, because Pentecostal movement is just new in the Philippines in the 1950s, and my grandfather was able financially. So he made a covenant with the Lord that for every church that he would build, help build in the Philippines, he is asking for 1 year of life. He helped build a lot of church because it was a pioneering thing during the 1950s. and God gave him 7 years.
Perfect. Amen.
From 7 months to 7 years.
Whoa.
And the church, since my grandfather came to know the Lord, he has this big, big garage that was the first cottage missing of the Bethel Temple in the Philippines, which is now the Cathedral of Praise. And it was the nephew of Lester Sumrall, David Sumrall, who's pastoring the church.
Wow. What's cool is I've read some of Lester's books about Manila and the Philippines.
Yeah. My grandparents used to, I don't know where the picture is. They have pictures with Lester Sumrall.
Amen. God just spoke over her, evangelist.
Yeah.
Teacher back there, evangelist right here. That's a word, teacher.
Amen.
Evangelist. Praise God. We just load her up, Lord. Load her up with the anointing of, and the gifts of the Spirit, and just fill her. And she's got a couple. She's got gifts in her. Lord, help her stir them up. Just stir them up. And I see a gift of knowing, of knowledge, word of knowledge. I also see a power gift of gifts of healings. So, praise God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Healings. Greater healings when you lay hands on people. Be bold, because greater healings are going to come when you lay hands on people. You've done it in the past, probably, but I'm saying
now
you're going to see new manifestations. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Just overload Him, Lord. Gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
You've got gifts already in you.
Yeah.
He gave them to you, and you receive the Lord. Mm-hmm. Tonight you learned about some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You're going to see something supernatural in the next few days happen through you. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the originator of it, mm-hmm, with God's help, and it's going to shock you. It's going to be amazing to you. You're going to be blessed in it.
And God is not done with you guys by a long shot. In fact, you're just getting started, okay? You're just getting started, both.
Amen.
So, Father, I just seal their path,
yes,
ahead of them right now. I seal the destiny that you've laid out before them, Father. Give them ears to hear and eyes,
amen,
to see what it is you are setting them forward to do. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Jason. Load them up, Father.
Yes.
A hungry man. Blessed are they which hunger, they shall be filled.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God.
Yes, God. Everything, God.
I believe you've already seen a word of wisdom and knowledge happen in your life. As you've uttered prophecies, you may have missed that, you didn't see them, you didn't recognize them. God says you're going to start to recognize them now. You're going to, with the teaching in you, with the understanding you've been given, you're going to start to walk out your destiny with what, in the power of the nine gifts, and some power gifts too. Mm-hmm. Gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Working in miracles.
Yes,
glory. So you can be bold. And if you don't be bold, that person may not get reached. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Just seal that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Overload Him, Lord. Just load Him up.
Overflowing, glory to God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Jesus.
Praise God. Blessed woman. Blessed woman of God. Blessed woman of God. Healing's going on in her. You know what? You got a lot to be healed of, because grieving's a slow process. But let me tell you something. New revelation is so healing. New adventures with God is so healing. It takes you back to being a child. So Lord, just overload her now with gifts. Just fill her up. Just put in her what she's been desiring, Lord. Revelational gifts. A greater degree of those.
Yes.
More accuracy in her own revelational gifts that she already had before tonight. And she has power gifts.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And you know what? You did not lose a battle with your husband. God already told you that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
We won.
And therefore, you are a minister of spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
That's your calling. So you're going to have to prophesy over people to help them unlock their souls. You're going to have an inner healing anointing too. Glory to God. Just glory to God.
You're going to look at people and look into them and see inside them. You're going to see clearly exactly what they need. It'd be like an x-ray machine, but you're going to see right to their heart. It'll be specifically clear. It will amaze you. Already does. Okay.
Praise God.
You can see more of it.
Praise God. Okay. I want to tell you something. You need to pretend, not pretend, live tonight like you turned a corner. Like you now have bridged the horizon of your destiny, and you are a miracle person tonight.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, divine appointments on these people.
Yes.
Glory, glory. And of course, glory. You move from glory to glory. Just keep your eyes on God. Wait for His instructions. Not one of you is lacking in any of these gifts or power. I just thought you might like to hear a few little stories. Dave DeWell, great man of God, this is what him and his friend used to do. They live in a small town. They're from Greeley, Colorado. And his friend, who said something?
I know where that is.
Yeah. He founded a church there. But him and his friend used to practice. It was kind of like treasure hunting. You all know what that is. They used to practice, like in the 70s and 80s. They would go to a different town. And I don't know if they checked in a hotel or slept in their car. I don't know what they did. But they would, one of them would go hide somewhere in the town. And the other one had to find him by the gifts of the Spirit.
Huh?
They do that in the school. And
they love to eat in between. Food.
Wouldn't that be something? But, you know. Yeah. So you got to practice. See, they were practicing for when they stood in front of people. They took it very seriously, you know. So when I do leg alignments, Jennifer, when I do leg alignments, mm-hmm. what I often will do is I'll lift up someone's legs, you know, and I'll go like, can you set this aside a minute? And I will say, your left leg.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
See, left leg is about a whole inch. Line up in Jesus' name. You feeling that?
No.
This one's coming out. This one's going in. God has given you an alignment. Look at that. Did you see it? Did you see that?
I saw that.
Did you see his leg came out a whole inch?
Yeah.
He, when your legs just grew a whole inch, you're not going to sway back and forth so much when you walk. That's a benefit. It's going to feel different when you walk. It's going to feel better.
When we will be doing this in one of the other classes, but when we do it, we just let the feet, you know, we don't pull. We just let it rest on our hands.
Now, I was demonstrating a gift of the Holy Spirit there of knowing what I was going to see before I saw it. You see? So, you can practice. Every time you go to pray for somebody, practice. And, you know?
You can ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Lord, I'm going to be praying for this person. What is it? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, let the Lord show you. And then you say, okay, what do you need prayer for? And then they'll probably tell you exactly what the Lord just showed you. Mm-hmm. And you might be off. You might be right. You know, but practice. This is how you practice.
Go ahead.
No, you ask.
For years, when I was teaching my kids how to hear from God, I did a simple thing because it was practicing. It didn't matter. And that was, I'm going to pick a number between 1 and 100. I know the number, and God knows the number. And they would practice. And now my kids regularly will get the exact number because they've learned how to hear from God. And the winner got to get in the front seat was basically.
Oh. I agree with that.
Big deal.
Train up a child the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart.
I used to, when I was learning about these, is before I married Debbie, and I would drive around with my two kids from my first marriage, and we'd always go to a lot of fast foods. And I had this habit of, we'd go to the drive-thru, and they'd be ringing it up, and I'd look at my kids, and I'd say, $9.31. And this lady on the loudspeaker would go, $9.29, and I'd be 2 cents off. And it's like, my kids would go, and you know what? I'm not good at math. You know, I didn't do that by adding it. And it seemed like I did that, and now I can't do that anymore. It was only for a short season that I could do that. And I was always within a few cents. We used it a lot when our kids were growing up. And I remember once our daughter was lying to us. And we went out to take a walk and discuss it. We didn't know she was lying. But we started taking a walk, and I said, she's lying. And there's no way to know she was lying, but we found out through another source that she was lying. There's no way to know it, see. So, anyway.
It, what it does is it tunes you into living in a realm. And I'm not talking about occasionally. I'm talking about all the time. Living in the realm, expecting the Holy Spirit to move through you. The Bible says be instant in season, being ready at any given time for the Holy Spirit to move through you whichever way He wants. So many times we take this and we go, okay, I guess I've got prayer team this morning, so I'm going to use this. And then the rest of the week, we don't let the Holy Spirit weave through our lives and use us, you know. This is something that is a 24-hour-a-day thing. It's not a job. It's not hard. It's just it's a sensitivity to knowing that you're ready at any moment for the Holy Spirit to tell you something, to show you something, to do something through you, to use your faith, you see?
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
In God's kingdom, there's two major keys. There's two huge keys. One is faith, and the other one is understanding. If you don't understand how the kingdom works, your faith will not serve you at all. If you don't have the understanding to match the faith, and I don't mean I understand that now mentally, I mean a spirit of understanding invading your mind, taking over, and giving you something to the core of your heart, you understand it. You see? So tonight, what happened here is, here's the understanding. I hope you use your faith when we laid hands on you in what's called biblical impartation. That's called impartation. I hope you use your faith. With the faith and with the understanding, you know, you you can do whatever God has for you to do. You can fulfill your destiny. And I will say one thing. The greater your calling, the greater level of these gifts will manifest. That's why anyone familiar with Kim Clement?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've seen him up close because he used to come to our church frequently. And one time he said, one time she was pregnant, and actually, now you need to hear this one and then we'll close. She's pregnant with our littlest, whose name is Daniel. And God spoke to her when Daniel's in the womb and said,
name him Daniel
because he's going to be a prophet to the nations.
Now, he's going, but I wanted Greg.
I wanted to name him Greg.
So anyway,
she said, God told me we'll name him Daniel. God said he's going to be a prophet to the nations. I'm going, oh, that's nice. You know, my wife is, you know, yeah, she's eating too much or something. She's just, yeah. But then, interestingly, a man of God comes along. I think it was Papa Harry from South Africa. He's a seasoned old man of God. The Spiker, actually his widow was in this church. He passed away. Dorothy Spikerman. But anyway, Harry said, that baby in there is a prophet to the nations. We hadn't told him anything, see? So then...
Daniel was about 8.
No, wait. Dave Duell, before she delivers, says, you got a little prophet in there.
Yeah.
That's what Dave Duell says. And then the next one was Kim Clement.
And Daniel's about 8 months old.
She's holding... The baby like this, and we're up in a prayer line, and Kim Clement's walking around on this elevated stage looking at us and everybody there, and he looks at Daniel and he says, there's a prophet's mantle on that baby, like that. And then Dale Gentry, anyone ever hear of him? Okay, Dale Gentry, a prophet of God. He's coming down the line, and he looks at each one of our family, and he looks at our son David, who's bigger, and he says, this one is a pastor. And then he gets down to Daniel, and he looks right in Daniel's eyes, and he says, prophet, like that. So, one, five people, all separate of each other, no one knowing the other's words, all called Daniel a prophet. So, that puts a lot of pressure on a kid. We told him this.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, how are we raising this?
We told him this many times, but he just kind of always shirked it and didn't want to hear about it, didn't want to talk about it. He came to this church when he felt like it. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to know anybody here. He didn't get in the youth group. We're kind of disappointed because his brother kind of did the same thing. But Daniel felt compelled to go back to Kansas City to be with his sister who was back there. He has two sisters back there. And the sister he was going to go live with, her husband is a pastor under his father. And it's a great big church, kind of like Capital Christians. It's a big old church. And so Daniel's in like Flint. He's living with her. She's the children's pastor. And my son-in-law is the... He's the second in command of the whole church, and his dad is the senior pastor. They get all these big names traveling through that church, you know, from the body of Christ. And Daniel got touched back there. He got filled with the Spirit. Now,
he was filled as a little boy.
If you need to hook up with him on Facebook, if you're on Facebook with him?
I think I've asked for this.
You know what? Well, he accepts everybody. You need to find him on Facebook, Daniel Nichols, and hook up with him because he puts the craziest, neatest stuff out through Facebook, and he is studying everybody. He's studying Dave Duell, Bill Johnson. I mean, and he is...
He actually brought Bill Johnson and and Kevin Deadman and all of them to that church. Not the people, but their books and their teachings. And it's spreading.
He has brought
treasure hunts there because Daniel got him started doing treasure hunts.
Yeah. So Daniel, I'm looking at Facebook the other day, and there's this arm brace over in an office area, and the comment is, Just pray for my coworker. There's the arm brace. How about that? How about that, Jesus? Like that. It was really cute. But so wherever he goes, secular job, he's preaching, and he's the head of the
junior high,
boys. And he preaches to the youth all the time. And so, and what is he? He's 20. He's 20 years old.
Just the beginning.
Praise God. So those prophets were all right.
Yeah.
You know. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we seal all this. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I see these on a higher plane of miracles and supernatural workings, each one of them in here. So just let them do that with joy. Don't let them get discouraged. Keep them. Give them all a great big miracle sign in the next couple of days. And we see that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
How is it, baby?